Twitter making a mistake, Vimeo's tip jar, iPhone 5 now available, Nokia vs. Apple, iOS 6 maps, streaming boxes, Passbook on the Mac, and a new Airport Extreme coming soon. That's Friday, September 21st, 2012, and this is iWeek. I'm Tim Chatton, and this is what's going on in the Apple world today. So, good morning and welcome to another edition of iWeek. Today's show's got a lot of news to cover. For you new iPhone 5 owners, congrats on your iPhone purchase. I will be missing out on this one, but I'm very happy for you guys, and enjoy your phones today. And hopefully you can use the podcast app to listen to it right now. So with that said, the first thing is a little bit of Twitter kind of making me angry for the very first time. So as many people know, there's this new API change coming out. And for me, it's been largely something that has not affected me, but something crept up. And that is if this, then that. And I got an email this morning, or last morning, yesterday morning, that told me that they're going to have to cut off Twitter access because of the API change. Now, I use this service to automate tweeting from, so I send a tweet that automatically goes into my Facebook. So I have that set up with the hashtag FB, and I also have this set up to do automatic tweets when new videos and audio messages are available. Now, I use this mainly for my day job where I do social media stuff for them, but I also use it for archiving my tweets to Evernote and lots of stuff. There's lots of stuff that you can use if this, then that for, and it looks like we're getting cut off. So here's the blog post that I got sent this morning, or the email I got sent this morning. So in recent weeks, Twitter has announced policy changes that will affect how applications and users like yourself can interact with Twitter's data. As a result of these changes, on September 27th, we will be removing all Twitter triggers, disabling your ability to push tweets to places like email, Evernote, and Facebook. All personal and shared recipes using a Twitter trigger will also be removed. Recipes using Twitter actions and your ability to post new tweets via if this then that will continue to work just fine. So you're able to use Twitter actions and your ability to post new tweets through if this then that. The problem is tweets pushing tweets to places like email, Evernote, and Facebook. So going from Twitter outside is bad. Going from if this then that to Twitter is good. So it's not all for naught. So at if this then that, first and foremost, we want to empower anyone to create connections between literally anything. We've still got a long way to go, and to get there, we're going to need to make sure that the types of connections this service needs are enabled. So basically the problem is with the new API changes. It's section A4 or 4A, which disallow uploading Twitter content to a cloud-based service. So that's that. Next up in the show today is a rather cool discovery that Don McAllister made on Twitter today. And he noticed if you grab your iPad and you tap on a clock, it'll blow it up into this huge clock. So now when you go into your clock, into the world clock view area, and if you have just one clock or multiple clocks, if you tap on a clock, either in landscape or portrait, it'll give you the clock. And if you're in landscape mode, it'll even give you, or I guess in any mode, it'll give you weather information and all sorts of stuff there. So very cool. I did not catch this when I initially used the clock app. So very cool find and just another awesome thing they're doing. Next up in the intro news here is Vimeo and their tip jar. So Vimeo announced that you can now have a tip jar. So if you're a Vimeo user, you can have a Vimeo Plus user, and you have this tip jar, which links into PayPal, and Vimeo takes 15% out of the tip, and then you have the PayPal fees. So it sounds like a really cool idea that, you know, people are now able to tip you as a video producer of content. So this is only for Vimeo Plus users, and Vimeo Plus is $60 a year. So you're gonna have to get at least $70 to break even on Vimeo. My question is, will users feel compelled to tip you with good videos? Or does the ad-based model of YouTube pay off better? This month, I'll receive my very first YouTube check for $110 from videos I started producing in March of this year. I've gone from nothing to $110 over that time, and I'll get my very first check this month. So YouTube's obviously paying me. I'm curious, would users be willing to pay for videos, and would this $60 investment in Plus pay off? So that's a question I pose to you. I'd love feedback at my Twitter or email or anywhere you can, you know, contact me there. And I'd love to hear, you know, is that something users would pay for? Would you, if you see a really cool video on YouTube, would you like to tip that person? I don't know. So that's just a question I pose out to you guys. So now let's jump into iPhone 5 news. First off, it's available. It's in the Apple. It's in the Apple stores, AT&T, Verizon, and elsewhere, and it is available now. And I'm rather excited to see it in person. I know several people that will be getting them, and I'm just looking forward to holding it in my hand and seeing what it looks like and all that good stuff. Because the iPhone 4S, I think, is very well designed and made. So I'm curious how much better this 5 will be. So first up in all this news is iOS 6 adoption. So we have a report from Firm Chiquita, sounds like a banana company, that says iOS 6 has been adopted by eligible iPhones, iPod Touches, and iPad users to 15% of its user base in just 24 hours. They compare that to Jelly Bean's update, which after two full months, only at 1.5%. So great adoption so far, and that's good news to hear. So next up is the black market of the iPhone in Hong Kong. They're already being started to be sold, and at a kind of a big price jump at $1,100. Now, you should know it's $650 for a low-end iPhone here in the States. I guess once you account for flying the phone to China, taxes, things like that, that's not too unreasonable a price. According to Mac Rumors, when the seller was asked about the sales of the iPhone 5, whether there would be demand for it, he said the stock for the iPhone 5 is quite tight, so he thinks it will be all right to resell the phone for a hefty markup, at least for the first 2 weeks. What's more, he has prepared secret couriers or deliverers in the United States and Europe to hop on planes to Hong Kong after securing about hundreds of iPhone 5s. Right now, Lowe has already received 100 to 200 orders from mainland China customers before the iPhone 5 goes on sale in Hong Kong's Apple retail store. So there you go. And that is the situation there. Next up in the show today is something rather interesting to me. So here it is. The fact that in 2007, July 2007, Walt Mossberg basically had this kind of interesting write-up here. So at launch, the iPhone version of Safari browser is missing some plugins needed for playing common types of web videos. The most important of these is the plugin for Adobe's Flash technology. Apple says it plans to add that plugin through an early software update, which I'm guessing will occur within the next couple of months. And we're still waiting. And thinking Walt did not check this one back in 2007. So that's that. And in current news is the fact that Verizon is pushing out LTE in a lot of new cities in advance of this iPhone 5 launch. We've got American Falls, Idaho, Americus, Georgia, Coffeeville, Kansas, Tifton, Georgia, Pueblo, Colorado, Merced, California, and the list goes on and on. So basically what the news is that AT&T and Verizon are both going all out with LTE for this launch of the iPhone 5, and it really does show the power of the iPhone. In iPhone 5 news is this interesting fact that when you bring your iPhone 5 into the Genius Bar, if it is damaged, you're not going to get a hot swap like we had with the 4 and the 4S. So, as many people know, if you bring a smashed iPhone 4 into the Apple Store, what will they do? They will just hand you a new phone, or make you pay for one, but it's going to be a swap. The 5 changes things. There's being repair kits sent into the Apple stores, and they're actually going to swap the screen. They will fix the screen. Now, I'm not sure if that will reduce the cost of these repairs for end users. Will an iPhone 5 screen repair be cheaper? It may be. Who knows? But that is something that is going to happen. So I'm not sure how this will affect turnaround times. So this is something that's developing. Something I've seen already is that iFixit is reporting the iPhone 5 actually may be more repairable than its predecessor. So there's some things developing here, and I'll let you know more as I know more. And next up is for developer news with the iPhone 5. So Apple is now requiring that you do screenshots for the iPhone 5. So this is from iTunes Connect. Dear developer, if you are updating your app for iPhone 5 and iPod Touch 5th Gen, you must provide additional screenshots to support the new screen dimensions for the App Store. The new screenshot dimensions are 640 by 1136, 640 by 1096, 1136 by 640, 1136 by 600. So those are new screenshots, and I'd be curious if this means a developer must own an iPhone 5 to get these screenshots, or what I would believe is Xcode would enable you to do this as well. So just a little note there if you are a developer, and also good note for consumers that you'll be seeing what this looks like in the App Store fairly soon. So with all the iPhone stuff going on, other companies are sure to react. And how will they react? Well, Lumia appears, or the Nokia company appears to be reacting by claiming the Lumia 920 is actually a better device than the iPhone 5. So they compare first off the camera with Nokia's a better camera at 8.7 megapixels pure view with Carl Zeiss lens. They say it's better. They say the panorama thing's better with full HDR, optical stabilization, better low light, all that kind of stuff. That one I have to call them kind of shenanigans on, as this is going to be mainly a software feature that I don't think the Nokia will be as good at. They tout their maps being better. They tout wireless charging over needing to plug into a plug, you know, ordinary charging with cable adapter needed when operating with 30 needle interface. So they call it needle interface. Accessories, ear pods, earphones. They don't mention you get the cable and things like that. What you get with this phone, you get the JBL Play-Up portable speaker for Nokia Monster, wireless Bluetooth headphones, and that's kind of cool if you actually get that. I think that's an aftermarket thing. I might be wrong. Next, they move to the screen. They say it's a better screen, which I have to call baloney to. They say it's better resolution, but it's a bigger screen. Of course, it's going to have better resolution. I think the pixel, the DPI is going to be higher on the iPhone 5, and the color is going to be a lot better. So that one I call shenanigans too. They also say, oh, you can use gloves with your Nokia 920. And they say it's got a better design with the live tiles. The icons are very boring. And they also say the color of the device. You get 5 colors with the Lumia and only 2 with the iPhone 5. So that's marketed under design and color. So something that Nokia doesn't really do here is, is the fact that the iPhone 5 is going to be much better designed. This is going to be a highly refined, jewel-like, watch-like device that the Nokia is not. And that's not pointed out anywhere. And there's a lot of, you know, slants in favor of the Nokia. It's much more than just hardware and capabilities such as wearing gloves, but the software and the elegance of the design of the actual product that makes the iPhone 5 quite special. And as I remind you, the Nokia 920 isn't even shipping yet. So now let's move away from iPhone 5 news. Many people may be tired of that. And let's move on to maps. Now, maps have been getting a lot of, a lot of people are not liking it. I don't get that because I think it's a great improvement. I was impressed with how navigation apps are integrating, and we're seeing a lot of great apps hit the App Store. I'm liking the turn-by-turn. I think it's really phenomenal. But that's not the case with everybody. Apple has actually reacted to all this outcry, Trundy Miller of Apple has said customers around the world are upgrading to iOS 6 with over 200 new features, including Apple Maps, our first map service. We are excited to offer the service with innovative new features like flyover, turn-by-turn, and Siri integration. We launched this new map service knowing it is a major initiative and that we are just getting started with it. Maps is a cloud-based solution, and the more people use it, the better it will get. We appreciate all of the customer feedback, and we are working hard to make the customer experience even better. So that's their statement. Something to note is if you do the little page flip, you can actually tap a little text thing that says report a problem. So if you do find a problem, you can report it to Apple, and they will start to fix this this thing and make it even better. Meanwhile, Jorn Watzicki, Vice President of Mobile Phone Business at Garmin, the owners of Navigon, has made a statement regarding their new apps, which now integrate with the navigation system. He says, with our recent updates, our apps can now serve as an extension to Apple Maps, providing iPhone users advanced navigation capabilities. This includes our new public transportation functionality, as well as many additional premium features that aren't available on free navigation apps. So they're touting that this this service will support public transportation, as well as, you know, turn-by-turn stuff, and it's a really nice thing. So Navigon is out, and it seems to be a great third-party solution for, you know, even public transportation. So the last bit of the map stuff is this. A lot of people want Google Maps on iOS. It's not there yet, and I think it will be there. It's just not there yet. But a lot of people said, oh, we have sources that say, oh, they've submitted it to Apple, and Apple's holding it up. Well, so here's Jim Dalrymple, the beard, saying no to that. So here's this. We've learned an updated iOS 6 version of Google Maps.app has been submitted to Apple. A simple nope from Jim Dalrymple. So I'd say it's not coming quite yet, but that doesn't leave the whole thing out of the equation. Meanwhile, Danny Sullivan, I asked Google today if we'd be getting Google Maps app, and if so, when, and also if it would include turn-by-turn navigation. Here's what he was sent back. We believe Google Maps are the most comprehensive, accurate, and easy-to-use maps in the world. Our goal is to make Google Maps available to everyone who wants to use it, regardless of device, browser, or operating system. So that neither confirms or denies that Google Maps will be coming to iOS. It may, it may not. Meanwhile, we've got some interesting news in the streaming world, I guess, so to speak. So we have a new Roku streaming stick. It's going to be available for $100 in October. It is essentially the box in a stick form that connects to NHL-compliant TVs. They partner with Hitachi and Insignia to make sure those are Roku ready, and they're adding Vudu to their boxes. Meanwhile, Netgear has revamped their Neo TV boxes with a new $50 box, which will do 1080p, Dolby Digital 5.1, and include a wired Ethernet port, which the Roku models do not. $60, the Pro model, adds support for older televisions, can handle Wi-Fi speeds up to 300 megabits, and it supports Intel's YD technology, and basically it's kind of a version of AirPlay. And finally, there is a $70 version, the Max, and that includes the micro SD slot for onboard, you know, not streaming kind of content there. Also supports a better remote control. And something rather interesting is 3D movies through the Vudu service. This would be a first for online 3D content delivery, to my knowledge. So that's that. I didn't want to go too long with that, but there is some interesting news in the streaming world. And let's move on to Passbook. So Passbook, I should have probably talked about back with the map stuff, but Passbook is a new thing with iOS 6. And the first thing I wanted to highlight with all this is if you are a business owner, if you're a business owner that wants to use Passbook, I would recommend buying Stamp Card. Stamp Card was recently updated to support Passbook. And what this app does is it's a creator tool for Passbook. Loyalty card, coupon, promotion, and gift card creator and scanner for Passbook. Coupons work on any device with a web browser, track customer redemptions, visits, and purchases. It's quick and easy to use. So it looks very elegant and very slick. If you want to create Passbooks for your business, use Stamp Card. That is my recommendation for now. Next up is a little bit of Passbook on the Mac. So Apple Insider, you know, highlighted how this works. So if you have a .pkpass file saved on your operating system 10.8.2, users are shown the digital pass as it would appear on the iPhone. In the bottom right, a button that reads Add to Passbook, which allows that passbook to push to their iPhone via iCloud. This support is in the Finder. Also, it's in Safari and Mail on 10.8.2. So, very cool stuff. You're able to send stuff right to your iPhone. Next is some Walmart news. Walmart and Kindle are getting a divorce, it seems. According to this memo by Reuters that they got from Walmart, we have recently made the business decision to not carry Amazon tablets and e-readers beyond our existing inventory and purchase commitments. This includes all Amazon Kindle models, current and recently announced. This is in addition to Target, who also did that as well. So this is kind of the retail strike against the Amazon brand, which is kind of significant. Meanwhile, if you do want a Retina iPad, a third generation iPad, you can now get one for $399 at Walmart. It's online, it's refurbished, and it's a 16 gig Wi-Fi model. A great deal and something I'm kind of intrigued by, as I don't have one yet, but the budget currently is not there. Now to close out the show, we've got three more stories. First up is Growl Shoe. It's now out in the Mac App Store for $4. It adds OS X Notification Center support in 10.8, adds support for Prowl and Boxcar services. It has roll-up for better idle detection, and it's now Sandbox. So that's Growl 2. If you're a Growl user, go out and get it. And finally today is basically the Airport Extreme and Time Capsule. They're basically going to be getting updated. Now, this is something I tend to agree with, as it seems very legitimate. I don't normally report on rumors, but this seems legit. So, according to Mac Rumors, Apple's about to launch upgraded Airport Extremes and Time Capsules. According to 9to5 Mac, they cite a Mr. X as a source. The new part numbers are listed below and offer a high storage capacity time capsule at 3 terabytes. So, basically, we've got an Airport Extreme 802.11n 5th gen, and then a second 2 terabyte and 3 terabyte 4th gen of the time capsule. All prices are said to drop in price, though the exact price hasn't been specified, and they expect the new devices could launch as early as Tuesday morning. It's interesting to note that the 3 terabyte part was predicted by MIC Gadget in their report late yesterday. What's more, the 1 terabyte model may go extinct. The new time capsule will be available in 2 terabyte plus storage. And according to their source, 3 terabyte is tested, but not sure if Apple got it to work. So that's that. They're also predicting a new design with better heat dissipation, better strength signal, and software update caching. So that's that. And to corroborate all of this, the FCC leaked the new design of the Airport Extreme. It will be greatly reduced in size and looks kind of cool. The front, the top view of it, I'm not sure how to describe it, but it does look cool. So that's that new Airport Express or Extreme. And that is the show today. Sorry for its extended length, but there was a lot to get through today. Today was iPhone 5 day, and there was more news besides that. So thank you for tuning in today. I want to remind you, since it is Friday, I do have an episode of iWig again going out tomorrow. I'm now at around 30 episodes that you'll be able to access if you sign up. So iWig again is a $10 a month subscription that you get extra content and also access to the scripts I read from. It's over at iwakepodcast.com/again. I'd appreciate it if you do sign up, as it does keep the show going. It I do need some financials to keep the show running. It's I like to do it for everybody for free, but I do like to have some funds to keep the website hosted and pay all the bills and stuff like that. So with that said, that's what's going on in the Apple world today. You can find the show notes at iwakepodcast.com. I also do videos over at youtube.com/tchaten. And finally, if you'd like access to the script as well as bonus content, head on over to iwakepodcast.com/again. Thank you guys for listening or watching. I will talk to again subscribers tomorrow. I'll talk to everyone else on Monday. Enjoy your iPhone 5s. Until then, have a good weekend. Aloha.